Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home with fast shipping. And for a limited time, get 10% back when you join Wayfair Rewards. Shop early Black Friday deals now at Wayfair.com. Terms apply.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. And if you missed the last hour, you missed a lot. And I'm glad you're with us now because we can take care of that for you. We just want to let you know that we are having a debate watch party. And we're going to have it. Of course, the next debate is September 10th, where Donald Trump will square off against Kamala Harris. Oh, did I mispronounce that again? And that's going to happen, of course, on ABC News.
You think he'll pronounce her name correctly for the debate when he's standing right in front of her?
Which,
or to the side of her, I should say?
I am certain he's going to mispronounce her name. And if he does it in front of her face, it's definitely going to be on purpose.
You know that she would say, it's Kamala. I think she would.
She might. But I wonder if she said that to Bill Clinton, you think?
Well, the Bill Clinton thing is weird. He sounded very odd.
Old.
For lack of a better word, he sounded like he was 100. So
it's true.
I'm sure she's going to have some grace for him that he just forgot.
Well, he's a Democrat. Of course, she'll have some
also
grace
that,
for him.
That helps.
That's true. It's a good point. So anyway, we're going to have this up on the website this morning, and you'll be able to go there and register for it. It's important for us to note that because there's a capacity issue out there at Dave & Buster's, and once they hit that capacity, the fire department won't allow them to have any more people in. So you're going to want to do this early. It's free. There'll be food and drink available for you there for purchase when you get there. But we're all just going to get together like we did the last time. Hang out, watch the debate, commentary will take place in between, and we'll have a good time.
I mean, I say sold out. I mean, it's free, but you have to register, but I think we hit the capacity.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. I mean, people were out like 3 hours or 2 hours before the doors even opened. People were showing up at Dave & Buster's just to get in last time.
Yeah, reminds me of a 2016. We did one out there, and we showed up, and there were an hour and a half before the doors opened, there were people lined up around the outside of Dave & Buster's waiting to get in. You could feel the enthusiasm. Let's hope we feel that again this time around, right? For sure. Coming up, we got J.J. Carafano in just a few minutes. We will get to him. Kamala Harris made some comments last night about Israel, claiming to support Israel, but trying to also ride the fence and claim that she supports some sort of a ceasefire in Gaza that would benefit Hamas. And I'm anxious to hear Jim's take on that as a national security and foreign policy expert. Nicolee Ambrose at the bottom of the hour. She was at the convention, I believe. She is a GOP National Committee woman, and we're going to get her take on the message and whether or not there was any policy included in this or not. To my knowledge, we still don't have specifics on anything Kamala wants to do beyond what she promised to do in 2020. We know what that is. And, of course, we will get to Kim on a whim coming up here at 7:48. Right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
After decades in law enforcement, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border.
The border czar says she understands security at the border, and it's the Republicans' fault, not hers, that whole thing didn't get fixed. Specifically, it's Donald Trump's fault.
Not to improve your life, but to serve the only client he has ever had, himself.
Oh, yeah, Donald Trump does want to make America great again. He just wants to enrich himself. The man who didn't take a salary and lost money as president is just doing it to enrich himself. Let me get that straight.
I'm sorry, I've just lived long enough that I know that your gut level perceptions are rooted in truth. They're not always precisely true, but I look at that guy and I'm like, you're a weirdo.
Yeah. That of course, you're hearing Tucker Carlson there talking about Tim Walz, the vice president. I'm going to let you hear his full comments on that coming up here in just a minute.
But the emotion and the feeling down here is, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party is how I would put it. There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
There was lots of joy, mainly among the mainstream media reporters who got to cover the DNC last night. They felt right at home. They felt like aliens when they were at the RNC convention. But last night, whoo, that was a party. Balloons all over the place. It was like a 7-year-old. We're having birthday cake. They were having a great time.
It looked like Tashara Jones and I think Sam Page may have also been attending the DNC. It looks like there's a picture there.
I'm not surprised. Where did you see the picture?
Someone on Twitter shared it.
Ah, okay.
No, I mean, I assume that wasn't AI. I assume that they were actually there holding their little flags at the DNC.
I've been around long enough, like pre-Borders time, you know, that bookstore that closed back in 2011.
Ken? What?
I've been around long enough to remember Russ Carnahan. He used to temporarily was a congressperson. And of course, his dad was Mel Carnahan, the governor of the state of Missouri. I'm watching the first night of the DNC when they were falsely committing delegates from each state because that had already been done weeks before the DNC. So they had to put on a show and act like they were committing their delegates to Kamala Harris, even though they'd already done it. And Russ Carnahan was speaking on behalf of the Missouri delegation. I had no idea that he was even still involved in politics, but I guess he is. So, all the Missourians were there trying to make us proud at the DNC last night. So that's all over with. We're going to get you some take on that here coming up from Nicolee Ambrose in just a minute, about 7:35. I did want you to hear from Tucker Carlson last night, because Tucker was asked by Megyn Kelly what he thought about Tim Walz. Specifically, if you've watched him, they want you to think he's just a regular old guy. But this is what Tucker explained here to Megyn last night. Go to cut 9, please.
Do you mean like a pervert? Like, I don't, when you say creepy, like,
there's something wrong with that guy. He's a weirdo. He's a weirdo. And you can tell watching him. And I'm sorry, I just lived long enough that I know that your gut level perceptions are rooted in truth. They're not always precisely true. I've gotten many things wrong. Like, the details are unknown to me, but I look at that guy and I'm like, you're a weirdo. And everyone's like, no, he's so normal. No, not normal.
What do you think of Tim Walz? Normal?
Well, I have some questions after watching the video on Twitter last night of his family walking on stage, and it you see him yanking his son's hand. I know some people are saying, oh, that's not what you think. But if you look at his facial expression while he's pulling his son's hand, it's kind of odd. I don't know. Obviously, I heard Kamala Harris saying, oh, Coach Walz, Coach Walz. That's like what they want you to remember him by, right? He's just this friendly little former high school coach, football coach.
Not buying it. They're also the ones that want to describe J.D. Vance as weird. When that's his word. That's Walz's word, right? Tucker also commented on that because he knows J.D. Vance very well. Go to cut 8, please.
I would say of J.D. Vance, it was hilarious because he's so weird. He hates women. He's like one of the only politicians I know, and I know a lot of politicians, who has a happy, normal marriage. He actually cares what his wife thinks. She's his partner, like actual partner. She's very smart and a really nice person, a cool person. And he isn't like a normal, happy marriage. If you brought, I've actually been around it in private, if you brought a camera into J.D. Vance's household, you would see like a husband who loves his wife, a father who loves his children. Like, you really would. You can't say that for almost any other politician on either side. And I don't want to be mean. I've already said I don't want to be mean, but like that Walz guy is a creep. I'm just telling you that as someone who went to boarding school in the 80s. Like, I know exactly who that guy is.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting observation by Tucker Carlson. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Jim Carafano. I'm sure he was watching for whatever foreign policy information might have been included, like no specifics, but just major generalities on Israel and the Palestinians and Hamas last night. That's coming up right after the break. Stay tuned.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
President Biden and I are working to end this war such that Israel is secure, the hostages are released, the suffering in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, security, freedom, and self-determination.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, Jim Carafano with us from the Heritage Foundation. Jim, I was listening to that soundbite for some sort of policy that might have been included in it. What did you pick up about how Kamala Harris is going to deal with the Middle East?
If gaslighting actually contributed to global warming, we will be all pan-fried within 6 months of a Harris presidency.
Yeah, we're going to end natural gas stoves so that we don't have any more gaslighting, because that can be dangerous.
Yeah. Well, look, of course, none of that's policy. Matter of fact, I don't want to look. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't mean to be mean here. But, you know, the most amateurish thing in foreign policy is to articulate the perfect end state that would make me happy, absent anything that could actually achieve that, because normally, perfect end states don't happen. So, not to get too geeky here, but if you have a strategy to accomplish something, which is normally what you need for big complex problems like wars and killing people, you need a strategy that's suitable, that will actually accomplish the goal that you want, that is feasible, that could actually be implemented and accomplish that goal, and that is acceptable. So, all the people that have to be involved in making this happen, they agree we're going to do this. What she articulated, she has none of that. So when you articulate a strategy that is not suitable, feasible, or acceptable, you're basically articulating, a prayer that you say at night, like, Lord, please solve all my problems. Of course, she doesn't believe in God, so I don't know about that. But look, I mean, it's just it was literally just complete gobbledygook.
Yeah,
I mean, that is just an honest. If I'd never heard of Kamala Harris, if I hadn't worked in Washington, if somebody had just parachuted me in and said, wake up, Jim, read this, what do you think? I would have said the same thing.
I mean, I'm sure she's trying to win over all the crazies who are out there protesting by the thousands or have been earlier this week in Chicago. But, is what she said going to be really enough? I mean, they're expecting her to basically say Palestine should have all free reign over anything.
Well, of course, this is the problem with that, with the policies she enunciated. Everybody that she wants to have vote for her, there's something in it for them, but there's other stuff in it that's intolerable to them. And this is like true on every issue. We're going to secure the border, but we're going to have open borders. You know, we're going to lower prices, but we're going to have price control. we're going to have reliable, abundant, affordable energy, and we're going to get rid of fossil fuels. I mean, these are not policies, right? These are just statements. And look, I think if the reality is we're trying to harp on policy, even the people that love the convention would tell you, look, this is not a convention to enunciate policy. I mean, my professional assessment is this race is about both parties trying to define the other party.
Yes.
It's not about articulating what I'm going to do for you to make you better off 4 years from now.
Wow. So I understand we moved yet another aircraft carrier into that region, Jim. What is the situation there? I mean, I know there have been random rockets fired into Israel again,
right.
But we've never gotten the reaction we've been waiting for from Iran, right?
Well, what you have to contend with is the U.S. has moved enough combat power into the region to reach any target they want in Syria, Lebanon, or Iran. And so you have to ask yourself, what back channel messages did they send to the Iranians saying, this is what we will do if you really, go the whole nine yards. And the other thing you have to remember is military operations in Gaza pretty much wound up.
So the entire Israeli military can now focus north. And, you know, for if you're Iran, and I know I've talked about this on the show before, but if you're Iran, you have to realize that 5 seconds after you launch your campaign against Israel, if you decide to do that, the Israelis are going to go after everything that allows you to control your country. They're going to take out every command and control facility that allows the regime to run its government. They're going to take out the electrical grid. They're going to take out the targets that allow you to export oil. And then they're going to start to go after your nuclear sites and military units. So you're putting at risk your ability to command and control that country. Now, yeah, you can do lots of damage to Israel, but you have no air defense. You have very limited missile defense. You are risking essentially losing control of your country. That's what the stakes are for Iran if they want to start an all-out shooting war.
Wow. Well, let's hope they decide not to do that. But I hope Americans are paying attention to the lack of detail you're getting from a Kamala Harris on one of the most important issues we face, whether that shows up in the polling or not. It is, because it could mean World War III. So hope they take that seriously. Jim, have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
You too, my friend.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Jim Carafano there with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, if you want to read more of his thoughts on that. By the way, we announced earlier the presidential debate watch party on September 10th, where you can see Trump take on Kamala, however you want to say her name. We are doing that at Dave & Buster's. It's now up on the website. Go to 971talk.com and then look for the events tab. And you will find the 97.1 FM Talk Presidential Debate Watch Party. It's for free. It's out at Dave & Buster's Hollywood Casino out there. You know where that is. And all you have to do is register, because there are capacity limits on that room. So just tell us how many people are coming. Hit submit, and you're on the list. Get in early before it fills up, because that's what's going to happen. Coming up, Nikkoli Ambrose with the latest on the speech at the DNC last night.
Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for 4. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years, who is supposed to already be working on solving it?
They did not appreciate that very much on the CNN panel last night. I just have to tell you that. They did not like Scott Jennings bringing the truth about telling me, here's what I'll do if you hire me for this job. Wait a minute. You've already had the job for 3.5 years. Why didn't you do any of that? It's a fair question. We got Nikkoli Ambrose with us right now, former young Republican chair, GOP National Committee woman from Maryland. And Nikkoli, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Are you feeling joy this morning?
Oh, my God. Joy, as Oprah said. So we just saw George Orwell's 1984 reenacted in an actual convention. Saying, a la the Democrats, quote, the party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears, end quote. This is exact. So I'm glad Scott, good old Scott Jennings, pointed it out on CNN. Hopefully he still has his contributorship after that. but long story short, we are in this incredibly rare situation where we know exactly what we get with Donald Trump, right? We had 4 years of record low unemployment, record low inflation, great job growth and wage growth. And then conversely, we have been living in the hell of Bidenomics, courtesy of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And what have we gotten? Over 20% food inflation, over 50% insurance inflation, over 32% energy inflation. They make our lives unaffordable. In fact, Kamala wants to bring more of California to the rest of America. And what is California famous for right now? Being the number one state. People are fleeing. Why? Because they can't afford it. And yeah. So they've brought it to the rest of America for the past 3.5 years. And she's only offering more of it plus worse because she just piles on with price controls. So apparently she wants us to go to the grocery store and instead of having high prices, have no food, and be like Venezuela, where we end up eating zoo animals.
So what do you think's going to happen, assuming RFK drops out? Because I know he's already filed paperwork to withdraw from the presidential ballot in Arizona. And let's just say he endorses Trump like we think he's going to do. What do you think's going to come of that? Is that a huge win for Trump, or could it potentially hurt him?
No, it's a huge win. Because, of course, when you have someone, much less a Kennedy, that is a disaffected Democrat saying the party has left me behind, the party has not only abandoned everything that the Kennedys stood for, but won't even ensure my safety and has been denying me Secret Service protection, which also led to the near assassination of our last president. So a very helpful if RFK does endorse Donald Trump. But this campaign has got to be also about just the issues and which party, which candidate creates a more prosperous, safer life for Americans.
Yeah, I want to get your 30,000 foot view here, because I think when you live in Missouri, where we are here, and our listeners are in Missouri and Southern Illinois, the Trump campaign is spending no money here on ads because they don't need to. They're going to win Missouri. They're going to lose Illinois. They know that.
Right.
They're not wasting money on ads here. So those ads are probably being focused on five or six states right now, those swing states.
Exactly.
And I've played a few of them so people can hear. Yes, they are trying to hit these messages. They're trying to remind people who she was in 2020 and why she had so little support, even among Democrats, because you're not going to get that policy stuff from her these days.
Exactly. And the Democrats, right, what they have gotten so used to is the media propping them up. And I don't think the American people will be snookered by that again, because what did the media just do? They supported Joe Biden and Kamala Harris until June of 2024, when they finally threw Joe Biden under the bus, had a month where they didn't know what to do, finally threw Kamala in. And what we have to remember is that the Democrats tried so hard to support Kamala Harris in 2020, in 2019. And by the third Democrat debate, they all decided they couldn't stand her and that she was very unlikable. So in the end, we have to remember that she is essentially not only incredibly leftist, progressive person who literally just advocated for communist price controls, which would leave us without food in grocery stores. And she wants to bring that to all of America. And she wants to double down on Joe Biden's horrible Bidenomics, plus make it 10 times worse with a 21st century dose of communism, which has been tried and failed everywhere else. So we have to dwell on that. The Democrats clearly are afraid to hear her speak. They are afraid to hear her speak off teleprompter, as they are with Tim Walz, because they had one of the shortest speeches at the DNC convention. So I hope the media at least continues to say after this convention, Kamala, why can't we interview you? Why can't we talk to you off script? Let's hear what you're actually like on the fly.
Yeah.
Whoops. I think that's why the debate's going to be so interesting, is she's not going to have scripted remarks that she can make. I don't know. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's just a honeymoon phase right now with Kamala Harris. Things are going to die down. Someone even suggested they thought come Labor Day, which is in like a week or so, that things are going to die down with her, the excitement. But I don't see that. I mean, we're, what, 70 or so days away from the November election, and I feel like they're gaining momentum. And that's, I guess, kind of the concern that I have. What do you think?
You know, conventions are designed to try to hype up your party and build momentum. But there are essentially hard questions, and nothing is going to make my insurance bill, which has gone up over 50%, easier to pay. Nothing is going to make, that unaffordable house or apartment better for the person who's been desperately trying to get one for the past 5 years. So I think economic reality is going to whack people in the face. I do think this needs to be about policy and results. And I do think that on the Republican side, we have got to make it about results and not let Democrats gaslight into people into, rampant emotionalism, which will get you nothing but an unaffordable life. And basically, literally, communist price controls.
That's true. I saw a great meme this morning that I appreciated. It had a had Kamala's face on it. And he goes, candidate realizes you can't have inflation if there's no food.
Right.
So in other words, we'll defeat this inflation problem at the grocery store by having no food because we've enforced, you know, food limitations on grocery stores on what they can charge. You know, I listened to a grocer the other day. Somebody in local news went out and did their job, and they went out and they interviewed a lady who owned a local grocery store. And she's like, listen, if we're lucky, we got a 1.5% markup on this food. We're not gouging anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start telling me what I have to charge for it and I can't buy it that cheaply, I'm out of business.
The market's gauging.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gauging. I'm sorry.
Yes, 1% margin in the grocery store industry.
Yeah.
And what do we want to be like Venezuela, where they had no food and then went and took their forks and knives to the zoo and ate zoo animals? This is a tried and failed policy. And she is so leftist and so radical and so ignorant. How on earth this woman got to be our vice president is astounding. That she's literally proposing policies which have starved other nations to Americans. I really think reality has to come home.
Boy, let's hope so.
But it is Republicans' job to focus on that policy.
Nick.
Democrats have controlled the White House for 12 of the last 16 years. And for all of the talk about division and the problems in the country and people are hurting, Democrats have mostly controlled this country. Trump had it for four. The Obamas and Biden had it for the rest of the time. And somehow, it's still all Trump's fault, and somehow she hasn't been at the center of it. So to me, that's still the glaring hole in this campaign that hasn't yet been solved at the convention. How do you explain all of the problems that will be solved by the person who is currently in there for the last 3.5 years, who is supposed to already be working on solving it?
They did not appreciate that very much on the CNN panel last night. I just have to tell you that. They did not like Scott Jennings bringing the truth about telling me, here's what I'll do if you hire me for this job. Wait a minute. You've already had the job for 3.5 years. Why didn't you do any of that? It's a fair question. We got Nicolee Ambrose with us right now, former young Republican chair, GOP National Committee woman from Maryland. And Nicolee, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
Are you feeling joy this morning?
Oh, my God. Joy, as Oprah said. So we just saw George Orwell's 1984 reenacted in an actual convention saying, a la the Democrats, quote, the party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears, end quote. This is exact. So I'm glad Scott, good old Scott Jennings, pointed it out on CNN. Hopefully he still has his contributorship after that. But long story short, we are in this incredibly rare situation where we know exactly what we get with Donald Trump, right? We had 4 years of record low unemployment, record low inflation, great job growth and wage growth. And then conversely, we have been living in the hell of Bidenomics, courtesy of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And what have we gotten? Over 20% food inflation, over 50% insurance inflation, over 32% energy inflation. They make our lives unaffordable. In fact, Kamala wants to bring more of California to the rest of America. And what is California famous for right now? Being the number one state. People are fleeing. Why? Because they can't afford it. And so they've brought it to the rest of America for the past 3.5 years. And she's only offering more of it plus worse because she just piled on with price control. So apparently she wants us to go to the grocery store and instead of having high prices, have no food and be like Venezuela, where we end up eating zoo animals.
So what do you think is going to happen, assuming RFK drops out? Because I know he's already filed paperwork to withdraw from the presidential ballot in Arizona. And let's just say he endorses Trump like we think he's going to do. What do you think is going to come of that? Is that a huge win for Trump or could it potentially hurt him?
No, it's a huge win. Because, of course, when you have someone much less a Kennedy that is a disaffected Democrat saying the party has left me behind, the party has not only abandoned everything that the Kennedys stood for, but won't even ensure my safety and has been denying me Secret Service protection, which also led to the near assassination of our last president. So a very helpful if RFK does endorse Donald Trump. But this campaign has got to be also about just the issues and which party, which candidate creates a more prosperous, safer life for Americans.
Yeah, I want to get your 30,000 foot view here, because I think when you live in Missouri, where we are here, and our listeners are in Missouri and Southern Illinois, the Trump campaign is spending no money here on ads because they don't need to. They're going to win Missouri. They're going to lose Illinois. They know that. Right. They're not wasting money on ads here. So those ads are probably being focused on five or six states right now, those swing states.
Exactly.
I've played a few of them so people can hear. Yes, they are trying to hit these messages. They're trying to remind people who she was in 2020 and why she had so little support, even among Democrats, because you're not going to get that policy stuff from her these days.
Exactly. And the Democrats, right, what they have gotten so used to is the media propping them up. And I don't think the American people will be snookered by that again, because what did the media just do? They supported Joe Biden and Kamala Harris until June of 2024, when they finally threw Joe Biden under the bus, had a month where they didn't know what to do, finally threw Kamala in. And what we have to remember is that the Democrats tried so hard to support Kamala Harris in 2020, in 2019, and by the third Democrat debate, they all decided they couldn't stand her and that she was very unlikable. So in the end, we have to remember that she is essentially not only an incredibly leftist, progressive person who literally just advocated for communist price controls, which would leave us without food in grocery stores, and she wants to bring that to all of America. And she wants to double down on Joe Biden's horrible Bidenomics, plus make it 10 times worse with a 21st century dose of communism, which has been tried and failed everywhere else. So we have to dwell on that. The Democrats clearly are afraid to hear her speak. They are afraid to hear her speak off teleprompter, as they are with Tim Walz, because they had one of the shortest speeches at the DNC convention. So I hope the media at least continues to say after this convention, Kamala, why can't we interview you? Why can't we talk to you off script? Let's hear what you're actually like on the fly.
Yeah.
Oops. I think that's why the debate's going to be so interesting, is she's not going to have scripted remarks that she can make. I don't know. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's just a honeymoon phase right now with Kamala Harris. Things are going to die down. Someone even suggested they thought come Labor Day, which is in like a week or so, that things are going to die down with her, the excitement. But I don't see that. I mean, we're, what, 70 or so days away from the November election, and I feel like they're gaining momentum. And that's, I guess, kind of the concern that I have. What do you think?
You know, conventions are designed to try to hype up your party and build momentum. But there are essentially hard questions, and nothing is going to make my insurance bill, which has gone up over 50%, easier to pay. Nothing is going to make, that unaffordable house or apartment better for the person who's been desperately trying to get one for the past 5 years. So I think economic reality is going to whack people in the face. I do think this needs to be about policy and results. And I do think that on the Republican side, we have got to make it about results and not let Democrats gaslight into people into, rampant emotionalism, which will get you nothing but an unaffordable life. And basically, literally, communist price controls.
That's true. I saw a great meme this morning that I appreciated. It had Kamala's face on it. It goes, candidate realizes you can't have inflation if there's no food.
Right.
So in other words, we'll defeat this inflation problem at the grocery store by having no food, because we've enforced, food limitations on grocery stores on what they can charge. You know, I listened to a grocer the other day. Somebody in local news went out and did their job, and they went out and they interviewed a lady who owned a local grocery store. And she's like, listen, if we're lucky, we got a 1.5% markup on this food. We're not gouging anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start telling me what I have to charge for it and I can't buy it that cheaply, I'm out of business.
The market's gauging.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gauging. I'm sorry.
Yes, 1% margin in the grocery store industry.
Yeah.
And what do we want to be like Venezuela, where they had no food and then went and took their forks and knives to the zoo and ate zoo animals? This is a tried and failed policy. And she is so leftist and so radical and so ignorant. How on earth this woman got to be our vice president is astounding. That she's literally proposing policies which have starved other nations to Americans. I really think reality has to come home.
Boy, let's
but
hope
it
so.
Is Republicans' job to focus on that policy.
Nicolee Ambrose, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Great chatting.
Great having you on. She's right. And, you know, I'm glad she brought that up because I kind of forgotten about that. It's the God's honest truth. You can go back and find the stories about it. In Venezuela, before things got a little better down there, people were starving so much they were going hunting in the zoo. The zoo workers had abandoned the animals. They were starving to death anyway, and people were killing the zoo animals so they would have food on the table. That's how bad things got. Now, do I think it's going to get that way in America? No, but the point is, if you start trying to control the prices that grocers can charge for food or that car companies can charge for cars, they're just going to go out of business. And then there will be no food and no cars because nobody knows how to grow their own food
anymore.
And
then it's zebra for dinner.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, there you go.
Camel for breakfast. Who's coming over? Camel links?
Oh, no.
Or do you prefer the patties?
Ouch. I prefer mine grown in a lab. I like camel grown in a lab, personally, in a box. I'm sorry.
Like a chia pet?
Exactly.
You
grow your own
camel
food at home. That's what Kamala wants, I'm afraid. What are we talking about on Kim and a Whim here?
Well, speaking of Kamala, I mean, you go to her website right now, you won't find a single one of her policies. Still, we're just, a couple months out from the election. Well, wait until you see the video that I found of what people's responses were when they actually asked him at the DNC, which one of Kamala's policies do you really support?
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Plenty of people are supporting Kamala Harris. I've seen people on Facebook I'm friends with who have been posting, I'm with her. Here's the funny thing. They don't really know what that means because Kamala Harris has not yet put out a single one of her policies. Nor is Tim Walz. They don't even know really why they're supporting her. They just don't want Trump.
Correct.
So there's this video I found. Someone walked around and asked people at the DNC this week, what is your favorite Kamala Harris policy? And listen to some of the responses.
Can you be up for a quick interview?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yes.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
That's a hard one.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
Her being president.
That's your favorite policy position?
Oh, yeah.
How so?
Because it covers everything that she defends.
I'm really excited for her to restore reproductive rights across America.
How do you think she'll go about doing that?
I don't know.
What a fun question.
I don't know. I'm picking and choosing. I mean, I really like most of them.
So you have to look at it broadly, right? It's about what she stands for right now.
Which is what? Because she hasn't said anything except when she was at the DNC, she and every other speaker who took the stage said abortion about 5 million times, and everyone, yes, yes for more abortion. Please, we want that. Please kill more babies. That is something we can get on board with. You've got to be kidding me. Let me read some of the other responses because that video that I found is about 2 minutes, so I couldn't play the whole thing for you. But here were some of the other responses. I'm non-binary, so all of the policies for basic human rights. Here's another one. Her willingness to move forward on affordable health care. And here's the last one.
Free health care. Free.
Yeah, that they put affordable health care. And here's healthcare. The last one. Like, her as a person just, like, tops out any policy.
It doesn't matter.
That's why people are voting. Seriously, that is the reasoning some of these people have for why they're supporting a presidential candidate who's going to play a major role in the direction of our country over at least the next 4 years.
That's why I couldn't go in there and ask that question, because I would want to slap somebody and say, wake up. How can you dislike an individual so much that you don't care what the policy is of the other person as long as it's the other person? Seriously, they have brainwashed these people. You know who's got some horrible TDS, don't you? Is Kamala Harris. Oh, she hates Donald Trump. Listen to part of her comments even last night. She talked about Trump a lot last night.
Consider not only the chaos and calamity when he was in office, but also the gravity of what has happened since he lost the last election. Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol, where they assaulted law enforcement officers.
A lie. And it's funny that she talks about throwing out your votes when she didn't get a single vote in the primary. The Dems installed her as their candidate without ever going through a primary process.
Did they really? Did she even mention the whole "we have to save democracy" last night? Because that's been their party line.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I've heard less of it.
When politicians in his own party begged him to call off the mob and send help, he did the opposite. He fanned the flames.
Lie.
And now, for an entirely different set of crimes, he was found guilty of fraud by a jury of everyday Americans, and separately found liable for committing sexual abuse. And consider what he intends to do if we give.
Yeah. She got serious Trump derangement syndrome. Lies about January 6th. Lies about what he was convicted of, right? Convicted of sexual assault. Claims it was a jury of normal, everyday people, mm-hmm. not hardcore Democrats from an area that's 99% Democrat. I mean, it's just right down the line.
Every speaker I heard at the DNC, and I heard quite a few of them, just spewing lies.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is that the RNC, I believe, was held the 15th through the 18th of July. Well, Joe Biden dropped out of the race, I believe, July 21st, which was the following Sunday. So think about the difference it made that, of course, they knew Trump was the nominee at the DNC. So they, I mean, said his name over 300 times when everything was said and done. Everything we thought, it was still going to be Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we had the information that we have now, how the RNC may have looked a little bit differently.
Well, they could have focused a little more on Harris.
On Harris.
For sure.
That's exactly my point. They could have been more honed in on her and Walz if that had been announced. So I think to some degree they had the advantage that theirs was a little bit later.
Well, it's true. And, you know, one story we haven't talked about today is there was a court decision yesterday. The Supreme Court handed it down that reinstated an Arizona law that it requires you to prove you're a citizen in order to vote. And the fact that it had been thrown out by a federal judge is laughable to begin with. But they had been allowing people to vote who probably weren't United States citizens. So people they knew weren't legally able to vote were able to vote. How many elections did they sway in that period of time? So in Arizona this year, and the decision just came down yesterday, they will not be able to vote in person or remotely without proving their citizenship.
Well, I was looking
in a state where 11 or 12,000 votes can make a difference who wins the state. That's huge.
Fox put out a story this week about the Secretary of State in Ohio finding that at least 100 illegals, like non-citizens, had registered to vote.
Of course. And I mean, I'm sure it's, we know I'm it's sure far it's many more than
right. That. We know it's far more than that. I mean, how is this happening? And we know it's not just happening in Ohio. It's happening across the country. And when you add that up, that is very concerning. And they want to sit here and tell you, oh, no, everything is secure. You're crazy. If you think it's not secure, you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm sorry. All the conspiracy theories we've said are all true.
The employers in this country are forced to do E-Verify when they hire someone to prove that they're a citizen. Why don't we have E-Verify for voting? It baffles me, except if you don't want that to be the case so they can vote. That's the only reason Democrats would support a policy of not proving your citizenship before you register to vote. I think we're on to something. All right, Wiggins coming up in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Plenty of people are supporting Kamala Harris. I've seen people on Facebook I'm friends with who have been posting, I'm with her. Here's the funny thing. They don't really know what that means because Kamala Harris has not yet put out a single one of her policies. Nor is Tim Walz. They don't even know really why they're supporting her. They just don't want Trump.
Correct.
So there's this video I found. Someone walked around and asked people at the DNC this week, what is your favorite Kamala Harris policy? And listen to some of their responses.
Can you be up for a quick interview?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yes.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
That's a hard one.
What's your favorite policy of Kamala's?
Her being president.
That's your favorite policy position?
Oh, yeah.
How so?
Because it covers everything that she defends.
I'm really excited for her to restore reproductive rights across America. How do you think she'll go about doing that? I don't know.
What a fun question.
I don't know. I'm picking and choosing. I mean, I really like most of them.
So you have to look at it broadly, right? It's about what she stands for right now.
Which is what? Because she hasn't said anything except when she was at the DNC, she and every other speaker who took the stage said abortion about 5 million times. And everyone, yes, yes, for more abortion. Please, we want that. Please kill more babies. That is something we can get on board with. You've got to be kidding me. Let me read some of the other responses because that video that I found is about 2 minutes. So I couldn't play the whole thing for you, but here were some of the other responses. I'm non-binary, so all of the policies for basic human rights. Here's another one. Her willingness to move forward on affordable health care. And here's the last one.
Free health care. Free.
That they put affordable health care. And here's healthcare. The last one. Like, her as a person just like tops out any policy.
It doesn't matter. Just turn
guys,
it over
that's
to her.
Why
it
people
doesn't
are
matter
voting.
Who's in charge.
Seriously, that is the reasoning some of these people have for why they're supporting a presidential candidate who's going to play a major role in the direction of our country over at least the next 4 years.
So that's why I couldn't go in there and ask that question, because I would want to slap somebody and say, "Wake up. How can you dislike an individual so much that you don't care what the policy is of the other person as long as it's the other person?" Seriously, they have brainwashed these people. You know who's got some horrible TDS, don't you? Is Kamala Harris. Oh, she hates Donald Trump. Listen to part of her comments even last night. She talked about Trump a lot last night.
Consider not only the chaos and calamity when he was in office, but also the gravity of what has happened since he lost the last election. Donald Trump tried to throw away your votes. When he failed, he sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol, where they assaulted law enforcement officers.
A lie. And it's funny that she talks about throwing out your votes when she didn't get a single vote in the primary. The Dems installed her as their candidate without ever going through a primary process.
Did they really? Did she even mention the whole "we have to save democracy" last night? Because that's been their party line.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
I've heard less of it.
When politicians in his own party begged him to call off the mob and send help, he did the opposite. He fanned the flames.
Lie.
And now, for an entirely different set of crimes, he was found guilty of fraud by a jury of everyday Americans, and separately found liable for committing sexual abuse. And consider what he intends to do if we give.
Yeah. She got serious Trump derangement syndrome. Lies about January 6th. lies about what he was convicted of, right? convicted of sexual assault. Claims it was a jury of normal, everyday people, mm-hmm. not hardcore Democrats from an area that's 99% Democrat. I mean, it's just right down the line.
Every speaker I heard at the DNC, and I heard quite a few of them, just spewing lies.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is that the RNC, I believe, was held the 15th through the 18th of July. Well, Joe Biden dropped out of the race, I believe, July 21st, which was the following Sunday. So think about the difference it made that, of course, they knew Trump was the nominee at the DNC. So they, I mean, said his name over 300 times when everything was said and done. Everything we thought, it was still going to be Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we had the information that we have now, how the RNC may have looked a little bit differently.
Well, they could have focused a little more on Harris.
On Harris.
Sure. That's
exactly my point. They could have been more honed in on her and Walz if that had been announced. So I think to some degree they had the advantage that theirs was a little bit later.
Well, it's true. And, you know, one story we haven't talked about today is there was a court decision yesterday. The Supreme Court handed it down that reinstated an Arizona law that it requires you to prove you're a citizen in order to vote. And the fact that it had been thrown out by a federal judge is laughable to begin with. But they had been allowing people to vote who probably weren't United States citizens. So people they knew weren't legally able to vote were able to vote. How many elections did they sway in that period of time? So in Arizona this year, and the decision just came down yesterday, they will not be able to vote in person or remotely without proving their citizenship.
Well, I was looking
in a state where 11 or 12,000 votes can make a difference who wins the state. That's huge.
Fox put out a story this week about the Secretary of State in Ohio finding that at least 100 illegals, like non-citizens, had registered to vote.
Of course. And I mean, I'm sure it's,
you know,
it's far more than that.
Right. We know it's far more than that. I mean, how is this happening? And we know it's not just happening in Ohio. It's happening across the country. And when you add that up, that is very concerning. And they want to sit here and tell you, oh, no, everything is secure. You're crazy if you think it's not secure. You're a conspiracy theorist. I'm sorry. All the conspiracy theories we've said are all true.
The employers in this country are forced to do E-Verify when they hire someone to prove that they're a citizen. Why don't we have E-Verify for voting? It baffles me, except if you don't want that to be the case so they can vote. That's the only reason Democrats would support a policy of not proving your citizenship before you register to vote. I think we're on to something. All right, Wiggins coming up in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.